Please turn in your Bibles with me to our text this morning, which comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 12 to 15. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 to 15. Second Peter chapter 1 verses 12 to 15. Please then hear with me the reading of God's Word. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things, as far as a reading of God's Word. Well, growing up as children, there are many things that our parents would tell us to do over and over again on a weekly basis and sometimes even on a daily basis. Clean your room. Do your homework. Do your chores. Be nice to your brother and sister. Go to bed. Listen to mom and dad. And many times, as children, when we were told these things over and over again, we would think to ourselves, why are you telling me this? I already know it. Or, why are you telling me this? You just told this to me 10 minutes ago. Right? And from the child's perspective then, it was unnecessary instruction. But from the parent's perspective, right, we see it as most necessary instruction, because we know that as children, right, that they are those who have short attention spans, right, that they are easily distracted by TV and games and friends and the outdoors and siblings. And unless we told them again and again and again, unless we reminded them daily, they would forget, and they would forget to do those things, and it would be to their own detriment. And that's not only true, though, of children, is it? It's just true of kind of humanity in general. There's, you know, many professions out there even where we need to be kind of reminded of things, oftentimes, basic things, right? Things that you learned when you first started the job, right? There's many professions out there that maybe annually you have to watch videos or go to some conference that kind of refreshes you on all the things you learned when you began the job. And even then, as adults, you think to yourself, what a waste of my time. Right? I have so far advanced these basic things. You know, why are we doing this? What is the point of this? But the truth is that we as people forget things, especially if we aren't thinking about them or using them on a daily basis. And so it is necessary and good then to have people in our lives to remind us of important things. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that God has placed these people in our lives. Right? Parents to remind children of their duty. Employers to remind employees of their duty. The government to remind citizens of their duty. And ministers, right, to remind the people of God also their duty to God and to one another. And as Peter does this in our text today, what I also want us to see, though, is that as Christians now, our response should never be like it was when we were those children. Right? When we hear repeated instruction, it should never be to huff and puff and to say, this is pointless. But instead, we need to see that scriptural reminders, no matter how basic they may be to the faith, are never to be viewed as something that we as the church or even we as individuals can ever dispense with because we have become some, you know, advanced theologians that we feel like we don't need these things anymore. Although I think this is the case with many, perhaps even some of you here, right? You come to church only wanting to learn new things, right? Or you come to church only wanting to learn hard things. But when the minister stands up in the pulpit and tells you some basic or simple truth that you have a firm grip and handle on, you think to yourself, "Oh, what a waste. I'm not going to get nothing out of this sermon today." Or you become disappointed by the message because you see it as too rudimentary for your advanced appetite. And sadly for many, what do? When that happens, they shut off their ears, even to the listening of the word. But we need to understand that every message, no matter how advanced or simple and basic it may be, if it declares the word of God, needs to be received with much thankfulness. It needs to be heeded with much attentiveness. And once you walk out of these doors, you need to be reminding yourself of it with all diligence, because this is what our souls need. It needs God's Word and all of God's Word. Not only advanced instruction, but as we see today, simple reminders of what God requires. Right? It needs reminders of those things that are basic to the faith, things that we've heard 1,000 times over. Why is that? Because we are forgetful people. Right? We oftentimes are quick to forget. And what happens when we forget things? We also then forget to practice, right, what it is that we have learned as well. Right? So we neglect not only thinking about these things any longer, but then that leads to forgetfulness and practicing and doing as well. And so this then leads us to our first point this morning that we want to look at as we look at what Peter is reminding these saints of. And that is first this, that repetition is good for us. Right? Repetition is good for us. Look at verse 12 with me. He says, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." Right? As I said earlier, it's easy for us to come to church and inwardly complain and become discontented, wanting one thing but kind of getting another. Right? Every week wanting to walk away with something new but being discouraged because we don't feel like we have gotten something new from the message that day. But listen to what Peter says. "I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." What's his practice? To always remind them of things they already know. And what are those things? Well, really, what he talked about earlier, verses 5 to 7. Right? "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Why is it important to remind them of those qualities? Well, remember verse 8. "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 10, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." And so, as we think about this text and as we think about this verse in particular, I think it's necessary to remember, right, who Peter is as he is declaring this message to them that they already know. Right? Peter is a minister of God's people, which tells us what? That Peter here provides a pattern for all ministers of God's Word. And that pattern is that we as ministers are the remembrancers for God's people. Yes, that is a real word, too. A remembrancer. I looked it up. A remembrancer is someone whose job or duty it is to remind people of certain things. That's what a pastor is. He's a remembrancer. I mean, isn't that what Paul calls Timothy to in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14? He says to Timothy, "Remind them of these things. And charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers." Right? And so pastor is to be a remembrancer. I mean, think about even the fourth commandment. Right? It's built into the fourth commandment. Right? Remember the Sabbath day. So we need to see that reminding people of things is a part of the work of the ministry. not just to teach you about things you don't know, not just to teach you about things that you are unclear about, not just to teach you things that you know kind of well, but things you know really well. It is the job of the minister to still remind you of those things and to do it, what Peter says? Always. For what purpose? Look at verse 13. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Right? Peter says we need reminders for what purpose? To stir you up. Reminders are necessary to stir you up. Now that word, to stir up, or what's translated to stir up, could also be translated to wake up. It's that same word used in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. If you remember in that story where Jesus calms the storm, there's the wind blowing, the waves beating against the boat. The apostles are frightened. They go search for Jesus. He's asleep in the stern of the boat, and they wake him up. And so reminders then help to wake up or stir up sleepy Christians. Right? That's what Peter's telling us. And there are many people who sit in the pews, perhaps even in our own church, who know the truth, but who are asleep. Wasn't that the problem even with the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus says to John, write to the elder of the church in Sardis and say this, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Now that word dead there is not spiritually dead. It's hyperbole. Okay? And we know that because of what he says in verse 2. Because what does he command them to do? Wake up! Right? Wake up! And strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. And then in verse 3, what does he say? Remember then. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. Right? Those Christians, those sleepy Christians in Sardis, I think are maybe a lot like us, maybe many of us. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you're groggy and you don't start becoming kind of a functional human being until after you have a couple cups of coffee, right? That's who those saints in Sardis were. They were, even though awake, sleepy. Just like we oftentimes can be when we wake up in the morning. And so you see, it's easy to, even as Christians, with all that we have going on in our life, to forget what we have received and what we have heard and forget to practice it. I mean, think about it. For many of us, from Monday to Saturday, morning to night, our schedules are nonstop madness. Right? From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you're doing something. It's work, it's recreation, it's getting projects done at home, it's different events, it's school, it's spending time with friends and family. But that means what? There's little time then for the Christian on a daily, weekly basis to be spending time then with the Lord. Right? There's little time left for the Word of God. There's little time for prayer, which means what? There's also little time for the reminders that we need as well. And as day after day passes, as week after week passes, as month after month passes, you begin to forget the things that you once learned. And you stop putting into practice what you learned, because you spend no time thinking about those things. And then the Christian who once was awake has now fallen asleep. Right? The Christian who once loved and was dedicated to prayer and the reading of the Word and coming to church and supplementing faith with virtue and self-control and knowledge and love no longer does, or does so far less frequently, because they've been captivated or taken over by the cares of the world. This is why then, brothers and sisters, we are not to despise constant reminders, but rather we are to receive them happily. Right? This is why we should see repetition of basic truths concerning the Christian life not as something boring that I just want to get over on Sunday morning, but rather as something necessary because God intends it for a purpose, and that's to reinvigorate the Christian, to remind us of those things that we must know, that we need to know, or even to remind us of those things before we become sleepy to begin with. And so the pastor who's not doing that, who's not laboring to be a remembrancer, is not doing their job. The pastor's job is not to wow the congregation. The pastor's job is to simply put the truth of God's Word before you each and every week to remind them of what Christ said, of what Christ has done, of what Christ expects of you, to remind you of your duties. And we all can be neglectful in carrying out those duties to God and to one another, can't we? Right? We all slack in the Christian life from time to time. Maybe some more than others. We can all become indifferent to our calling as Christians. We all can become forgetful because our minds are so busy with so many other things that we have going on in our life. And so the faithful pastor has to be someone who does not weary in reminding the congregation of the things they already know, following Peter's pattern, so that they would be stirred up, that they would be awakened to constant and faithful service to Christ and His church. Right? I want us to see that repetition of teaching of the things that you already know and know well is what edifies the church. It keeps the church awake. It helps believers to not fall back into old patterns or old ways or to relapse into old sin. It's something then that we as weak creatures that we should want and desire. We should want many reminders of all truth, even the most simple and basic truth. Right? Reminders of what God has given to us, what God expects of us. Reminders that Christ died for you in order that you would live for Him, to stir us up to faithful service to God. And so the question is, are any of us doing that? Have any of us been stirred up by way of constant reminder that we are offering and rendering to God faithful service? Remember, the God who granted you faith to believe, the God who has given you His Holy Spirit, wants us to be growing in grace. That means we have to be making diligent use of the means of grace that God has given to us. And so if there are any here today who maybe in their heart and in their mind are saying, you know what? I've been sleeping lately. I implore you, I call upon you as Christ does, to arise. Right? To arise. Remember what you were saved for. Remember that Christ gave Himself up for us to redeem for Himself a people for His own possession. That we would be zealous for good works. Those good works that God requires. And so we ought to be busy in doing them. And why is it important that we do them without delay? Why is it important for even Peter to be a great example of diligently exercising your calling before Christ and the world as a minister? Well, look at verse 14. Peter says, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. Right, this leads us to point number two of what Peter is reminding the saints of. And point number two then is that our time is short. Our time is short. Right? First, Peter reminds them that constant repetition of truth concerning, right, basic Christian doctrine concerning our lives is good, should not be despised. Why? Because it stirs us up to action. But it's also important that we are diligent in doing those things. Why? Because here in point two, he tells us our time here on earth is but short. Right? Our lives are short. Now in verse 14, Peter obviously is talking about himself. Right? He's telling them, my life is short. But what he says about himself, is it not true of us all? Right? Is it not true of every one of us here? Right? His life then is a teaching tool for each one of us. Right? His diligence in doing the work that God has given him to do, laboring mightily in the work of the ministry, knowing that his death will soon come, should be an example to every single one of us here of how tirelessly we should be laboring as well in our vocation, in our calling, right, in our faithful service to God, knowing, like Peter, that our time is limited and our time is short as well, and no one knows when their time will end. Now, Peter is old in age as he writes this second letter. But he says that Lord Jesus made clear to him that he will soon die. So, you know, did Jesus, when they were together, tell him when he would die? Did Jesus make, through a revelation to Peter, tell him when he would die? Perhaps not the day nor the hour, but maybe the season when he would die. But Peter knows by revelation of Christ that he will die, that his time is near. But knowing that time is near, what does Peter do? He expels all his energy he has left into serving Christ and the church. Peter, in his old age, knowing that he's about to die, doesn't go sit on the couch. He expels all his energy for Christ and the church. What I'm about to say to you might be a little backwards from what we've heard before, but I think that it is true nonetheless. I think what Peter shows to us is that the nearer one is to their death, the faster they are to run according to their strength in serving God and doing good to others. But brevity of life is not just something Peter had to deal with, is it? It's not just something that those who are up there in age have to deal with, but rather it's something that we all have to come to terms with. Right? James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 14, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And so what does Peter show us that we need to follow? Ultimately, that while we still have breath, we need to be fruitful. Right? There's never a time in the Christian life where we stop being fruitful. But we are to be fruitful all the way up till our death. Right? Jesus himself said in John chapter 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Because night is coming when no one can work. While we're alive, it's time to work. Once we die, that work ceases. Right now is time to be fruitful for the kingdom of God, for the time to be fruitful for that kingdom is short. And no one knows when they're going to die. You could die young or you could die at a ripe old age. And so I would say to young Christians, don't say to yourself, I can be slack right now with my service to Christ and to others, because I have 30, 40, 50 years before I'm going to die. And I can kind of pick it up in the end. Because you don't know when you are going to die. You could die today. Right? Your time could be that short. Right? And so you need to be fruitful for the kingdom of God right now. Now's the time to be fruitful. And those of you who are older in age, I don't want you also to say to yourselves, now is the time for me to be slack. Because I already kind of served the last 30 or 40 years. Now it's time for me to kind of sit back and, and do nothing. Right? I want us to see through the example of Peter that as you get older, as you near death, you ought to be more determined to labor all the more, knowing that death is approaching and you want to leave your best before you die. And we have examples of that all throughout Scripture. Jacob leaves his best blessing right before he dies. Moses preaches his best sermon to Israel right before he dies. David gives his best counsel to Solomon as he lay upon his deathbed. It's also interesting, isn't it, that although there's one way in which all people come into the world, there's 101 ways that we go out of it. I mean, think about Job's children. House falls on them and they die. We can think about Ananias and Sapphira fall down and die because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Lot's wife turns back when she's told not to, turns into a pillar of salt. Think about the children in the Gospels whose parents run up to Jesus and ask for His help because they are dying or near death. Herod, right? Herod was someone who thought probably he was in his prime, right? He's king and he's glorying in it. And the next thing you know, he's being eaten by worms, right? Being struck down by the Lord. And then we have someone even like the Apostle John, who's banished to the island of Patmos and who dies of old age. Death is the great equalizer of us all, isn't it? It doesn't matter who you are either. Right? Death forgets none of us. I like what the Puritan Thomas Adam had to say about this. He says, "Men upon earth, as in the game of chess, supply different places. One is a king, another a queen, another a bishop, another a knight, another a pawn. But when the game is done, and they are all shuffled into one bag, all are alike." Isn't that true? And so Peter is delivering a message by telling them that he will soon die, so that these saints would never forget that they too must die. And in telling them those things, what's the purpose? Well, Peter again is seeking to motivate them, right, to faithful service to the Lord, knowing that what Peter's going through is what they're going to go through as well, right? They will all one day die. So now is the time to live and to serve Christ and His kingdom. What he also, though, reminds them in this verse, I think, are two other things that we can kind of glean from this verse. He reminds them also how they are to look at death as he talks about his own death, right? So that they would not be afraid of dying. And he also, though, I think in this verse, tells them how they ought to live before they die as well, so that they would not become too attached to this world, rather remembering what their purpose for living is. So, look at what he calls his impending death. He calls it a putting off of the body. It's a putting off of the body. It's a removal. But really, it denotes to us kind of a voluntary action. Right? Of course, he doesn't have a choice in death in the matter. But what I'm saying is, he's saying kind of like, I'm ready to die. I'm not fighting death. Death isn't something that's distressing or frightening or terrible to me. In fact, he's ready to put it off. Right? When he thinks about death, he can think about it joyfully. Right? I wonder how many here can think about it that way. Right? If you think about your death, and maybe even for some of us, you don't even like thinking about death. Right? It scares you. But as you think about death, can you think about it the way that Peter does? I'm ready to put this body off. Right? I can think about death joyfully. Right? That's what Peter wants these saints to think about death, because they will die. right? That I can put off my body. Right? Remember, these Christians are struggling. They're being persecuted. They're facing the threat of punishment and death. And so he says to them, you know, I'm ready to put off my body, that they too might have that same mind as Peter, right? Ready and willing to joyfully put off that body. And why? Well, for them it's going to be a cessation of all the pain, all the torment, all the suffering, everything that they are experiencing. But even more so, right? Death is good and death is best and ought to be seen that way, because death means immutability of our eternal happiness, right? As we will be with Christ in glory forever. And so there he reminds them by pointing to his own death of how they are to think about death. But he also reminds them how they are to think about and perceive their own earthly existence as well in this verse. Now, at first glance you might say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Where do you get from that he's telling us about how we are to be living? Well, this is where sometimes using more than one translation is good. Right? So, in the English Standard Version, it's not very clear. But in the King James Version, it is. Right? In the King James Version, what Peter is intending to say, I think, comes out all the more clearer for us. Because in the King James Version, instead of body, that word there is translated tabernacle. Right, so that we read verse 14 like this. Since I know that the putting off of my tabernacle will be soon. Right, so Peter calls his body his tabernacle. Doesn't that fit perfectly with the theme of Peter's letters? Right, to refer to his own body as a tabernacle? When he's calling them in 1 Peter, exiles and sojourners of the dispersion? And so Peter is reminding them by speaking of his body as a tabernacle that this world is not your home. Isn't it interesting also, he doesn't call his body his mansion. He calls it a tent or a tabernacle. Why not a mansion? Well, because a mansion is firmly set into the ground. It's firmly fixed to stay there, to remain there, but not a tent. Right? The very purpose of a tent, right, is something that can easily be set up and picked up and traveled with and moved all about from place to place. And so Peter's telling them, right, our hearts are not to be set in this country. They are to be set upon a better country, the one that we are traveling with, moving the tabernacle of our body towards, where our true mansion is, right, with all of those bedrooms that are there. And so I ask, is that how you view your life? Or have you made this world your home? Are you looking for your mansion here? Or are you living as if you are a tabernacle? Right? Ready to pack up and go and be with the Lord whenever He bids you to come home. Also, think about this. Who else uses tents? Who uses tabernacles? Soldiers. Soldiers use tabernacles. Soldiers use tents. Right? They take those tents and they go off into the battlefield. And they go to fight the opposing army. And when the fight is over, they pick up their tents and they go home. The same is true of us. While we are in this earth, we are just tabernacles, right? We are here to do battle on the battlefield with all of Christ in our enemies. And after we fight the good fight, we're going to pick up that tent. We're going to pick up that tabernacle. And it'll be time to go home. And as Christians, we are emboldened to fight. We are emboldened to do those things without fear of death. Because death is not distressing for the Christian as it is for the unbeliever. And why is it? Well, because Christ died the distressing death so that you and I don't have to. Right? Christ was the one who was forsaken by God while He was upon the cross. He was the one who experienced the torments of hell so that you and I don't have to. That we might be reconciled to God by the blood of the Lamb so that we might have eternal life through Him. Consider one other thing before we move on to our third and final point. In Revelation 12:12, we're told the devil knows his time is short. And so what is the devil doing, knowing that his time is short? He is working tirelessly. He is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Right? He is actively laboring against the kingdom of God. If we know our time is short, how much more should we be actively laboring for the advancement of the kingdom of God? Doing the work set before us. And what is that work? Well, Peter teaches us what that work is by his own example in verse 15, saying this, "And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." This leads us to point number three. And that third point that Peter reminds us of is that we are to be useful to others. We are to be useful to others. Right? How was Peter being useful during his time here at his old age? Well, he's laboring to bring to them the gospel. He's being useful in putting pen to paper that they might be able to have 1st and 2nd Peter and be able to recall those things always and often to the benefit of their souls. And so what did Peter do? Peter used his life for the good of others. Right? He sought to serve God and to bless people. We might say even here in 2nd Peter, what Peter has left not only to them but to us are his dying words. And why is that important? Why is it important that Peter makes mention that he is about to die, and at the same time records that he hopes that this will bless them, that they might be able to recall these things after he dies? Well, think about it. When you are around someone that you always know is going to be there with you, oftentimes when they tell you things, when they remind you of things, when they correct you about things, it goes in one ear and out the other. But what tends to be true about people when they talk to someone that they love, that they know is about to die? They perk up and they listen. Right? That's what Peter is doing. That's the purpose of telling them that he's about to die and that he wants them to recall these things. Right? He wants them to perk their ears up and listen, to not let them go in one ear and out the other, but to keep these words dear. Right? To hold on to them, that they might stick with them, never go away, that they would put them deep into their hearts. I mean, think about it. If you've ever been near someone who has died, or you've talked to someone else who has been by the bedside of someone who has died, they recall those last words that person spoke to them. And every time they think about that person, they remember those words. That's what Peter wants these saints to see in his words to them. That they might make diligent use of his writings in order that they would make their calling and election sure, never forgetting his reminders. And so it's not for himself that he's doing it. It's for their benefit, right? For the saving of their souls, for their profit, of their spiritual life, even when he's dead and gone. So I ask, if Peter's words, have the dead prophet's words, have the dead apostle's words, have that effect on you? Have they increased your faith? Have you gained comfort through trial because of them? Have you gained greater assurance through them? Have you attained greater knowledge of that blessed hope through them? Has all of these things moved you to bear more and more fruit in your lives because of them? In order for that to happen, though, brothers and sisters, you need to be reading them. You need to be committing them to memory, praying that the Spirit would energize you, that you might be able to exercise yourselves in the things that you are taught, that you might be moved into action. This is one reason why we have it. Right? This is one reason why these words are recorded. Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for your instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Think about what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And I also ask us this, how many of us are following Peter's example towards others? Right? How many of us are following Peter's example towards others, not just living for your own good, but living for the good of others? Living in a way to benefit others spiritually, not just now, but when you are dead and gone. I mean, brothers and sisters, where is our sense of obligation? Where is that sense of obligation that we ought to have to Christ and the church? That we would leave something behind, not just now, but when we are dead and gone. Parents, are you doing this with your children? Right? Are you leaving something behind that when you are dead and gone, they can recall that will bless their souls? So that when they experience some trial, they can think back to how my godly parents got through that trial, what they did, and I can follow their example for my benefit and my advantage, so that they're still helping me, even though their body's in the grave and their soul's in heaven. Each generation should be serving the one that's coming after them, imparting wisdom, imparting truth, but also a trail of good works that will be an example to them, not just now, but when we are gone, of how they are to faithfully serve Christ, the church, and the kingdom. And it isn't too late. Right? It's never too late. But as Christ lived for us, that we might be freed from these chains of bondage and selfish living, all in each one of us ought to be calling out to God for His infinite grace, that He might then help us to serve this way. Right? Not only Christ, but others. But I hope we see after today why then reminders are so necessary. Right? Because we are so lax in our thinking. We are so lax in our doing. We are so lax in our serving. We are so lax in our remembering these good things. And so Peter here in our text is redirecting us back to what is important. He's redirecting our eyes back to Christ and His kingdom and His word and our purpose as those who live and move and have our being in Him. And so may we receive these reminders with joy and with gladness, seeing that every time you hear them, every time you hear the most basic of truth repeated over and over and over again, remember that that is a mercy of God to you. It's a means of keeping you by faith in His Son. It's a means of motivating us that we might exercise ourselves with great zeal in this world for serving God and one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for these words brought to us by the Apostle Peter through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that You would really bring them home to our hearts. We must confess, Lord, that we are oftentimes lax
in remembering important truths and in practicing those truths. We confess, Lord, that oftentimes we despise basic teaching. We're always looking for something new and better and more profound, and not being content with the simple things Your Word teaches us, like what our duty is. But now, Lord, we pray that You would help us to see how meaningful even the simple commands of Your Word are to us. For they are given with a purpose, one that is most necessary for us, one that serves the good and benefit of our souls. And so, Lord, we ask and pray that You would help us to be thankful for Your Word whenever it is heard, no matter what the topic may be. Lord, we pray also, though, that You would help us to remember that our time is short, that we could die today, no matter how young or old we are, that now is the time to serve You and to serve Your church, to love You and to love one another. And we ask, Lord, that through the Holy Spirit we would do that very thing, that You would grant to Your people that zeal, that You would give to us that motivation to put down, to put away the things of this world, and to pick up the sword and the shield and the breastplate and the shoes, that we might serve You all the days of our life. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.